Yeah.
Wait a minute. I don't want to play that today. I do not want to play that today. Let's start with this.
Yeah. Yeah. Draft day. Johnny Manziel. 5 years later, how am I the man still? Draft day. A. Wiggins. That other side, you stay winning. Oh, man, you know I had to do it for you. You know I had to do it for you. Yeah. Suits and ties yelling out, pay the guys, man, I had to do it for you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to a great two-hour show we're going to do tonight. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master, and I am joined by my founder, Mr. Vic Gardner, and also Jeff the Joker. And we will engage in conversation and give you our analysis today for 2 hours. We're not going to take the whole draft, but we're going to do as much as we can for 2 hours. Because right now, the commissioner, in short order, will come up to the podium and start this draft off. My Houston Texans will be the first on the clock. The number to call in is 347-637-3220, 347-637-3220. And as the phone line and the show is sponsored by Fantasy Sports Book Casino, .com, its hotline is the phone, and its sponsor is the same as the hotline. So without further ado, let's bring in my two co-hosts for now. Maybe we'll get Black coming up on here, but right now we have Victor and Jeff. What's up, guys?
Hey, Jerry.
What's going on, Jeff?
Well, Victor, I don't, I know why you're on here, but you really shouldn't be on it because your Washington Redskins don't have a first round pick. But we welcome you on the show anyway. Because we're going to be running down the draft order and giving our thoughts on each one of these draft picks and see what happens. So anyone who wants to chime in also on the chat room is always open for your pleasure. Make a comment, make a statement. This is draft day, man. Anything can happen. Wild things can happen. And I'm looking for fireworks. But let's talk about this for a minute, guys. First pick, Texans. All up until at least 2 or 3 weeks from now, they've been talking about the Texans are going to trade out of the pick. They're going to trade out of the pick. They're looking for a couple, looking like for two or three first round picks and a second round pick. Now I hear that they're going to take the pick because that's one of the needs. They need a defensive end or a outside linebacker, and depending on what type of defense they play, depends on who they're going to draft. Hopefully they draft the guy I've been wanting all this long. Is it Jadeveon Clowney? But I'm not going to rant too much. I'm going to talk to Jeff first and then Victor on your thoughts. Number one pick, Texans, in the next 8 minutes.
Yeah, I think they're going to go with Clowney. He's a rare athlete. I mean, there are a few questions. I don't think anyone's perfect coming into a draft. But I think they're going to go with Clowney. But what defense are they going to run? Because if it's a 3-4, then they got to move in the linebacker. And I don't like drafting a guy in the first round and then having to change his position. You know what I'm saying? That's the way I look at it, and that's how some teams draft. I mean, there's some NFL teams, if they run a 4-3 defense, they only draft guys that fit well into that defense, and some of those teams are very successful.
Mm-hmm. Victor, talk to me.
Well. Ladies and gentlemen, I call this the Taylor curse. When he supports, they, for lack of better words, abort. When he does not, then they're hot. The Houston Texans have officially been placed on the clock right now. Jadeveon Clowney is a guy that they want. Just like 7 years ago with Mario Williams and Vince Young was out, you had the hot mobile quarterback that had some issues on and off the field. Vince Young, a la Mr. Manziel. And now Mr. Manziel's agent looks like he's on the phone. Don't know what that means, but you got the DN, Mario Williams, explosive, big playmaker. He's that DN rusher, a la Jadeveon Clowney. Now, the problem here is they've gone down this road before, and they selected the lineman. Didn't get him anywhere. But at the time, the Texans didn't have an already dominant defensive tackle to go along with the defensive lineman. They got J.J. Watt. And right now, who's the starting quarterback, Jerry?
Hey, let me put it this way. I'm hearing on the wire that the Texans are looking to acquire from the Patriots Ryan Mallett, Big Arm Mallett.
Wow. That, you know what? I can see that happening, too, because why? Former quarterback coach, now head coach at Houston. But to make a long story short, because I know I've been rambling for a little bit, I think they're going to surprise us. I think they're going to pull a draft day, and Khalil Mack is getting picked number one. If not Khalil Mack, because as Jeff said, Jadeveon really doesn't fit their he doesn't fit their defense. But Romeo Crennel can make defenses fit him. But if you want to improve and add another piece to that side, Mack is the guy to get on defense.
In my opinion. And this is with most teams. Most teams have a base defense, but they don't run that defense every play. So depending on what type of defense they play, whether it's a 3-4 or a 4-3, it's hard for me to fathom that they would pass on Jadeveon Clowney. Now, there's two coaches that used to coach at South Carolina that are in the coaching staff right now of the Houston Texans. So who better to know what the real deal with Jadeveon Clowney than two former coaches that are on the Houston Texans coaching staff right now? Now, I don't remember to recall their names right now, but I did recall hearing that a few days ago that there's at least two coaches that are on the coaching staff of the Houston Texans right now, and I can best believe that they got their brain picked on what they thought of Jadeveon Clowney. I can't see if you have someone on either side of the defensive line like J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney, how you can pass up on that. And I understand Khalil Mack is supposed to be a can't-miss linebacker. But I can't get past the fact that Jadeveon Clowney played in the SEC against elite talent compared to what Khalil Mack played with the University of Buffalo. Now, I'm not discounting where he played, but I am, because the fact is Clowney played in the best conference of football in the U.S., And he exceeded. I understand that he only had 3 sacks last year. Okay. But he's still elite talent, and I think that he's ready to show what he's all about if he happens to come to the Houston Texans with J.J. Watt and Brian Cushing taking him under their wing. I there's no doubt in my mind that he should be the number one pick. I've been saying this for quite a while, and we got 5 minutes left before the pick comes out, and we'll see what happens.
Well, Can I say something?
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I don't want to ramble on. Well, go ahead.
No, that's okay. We're used to it. Old-timer syndrome. The main thing is this. They need to make choices or picks that's best for the Texans. Now, I agree that there are some wonderful, wonderful talent out there for them to choose from and to make deals with. If those two coaches you mentioned were on the defensive side of the ball, particularly defensive lineman coaches, then yes, I can see them, you know, throwing in their two cents. If they weren't on the defensive side of the ball or not, you know, D-line coaches, I wouldn't put too much stock into what they have to say because, yes, they coached with him around, but they did not coach him. Da'Davion County I'm talking about. Khalil Mack. All you got to do, really, is look at what he did to Ohio State. Him by himself against Ohio State. It's straight out of the movie Draft Day. Seriously. No joke. I think he had like 3 sacks, a forced fumble, and some other stuff against top talent. Yes, University of Buffalo is not a great program. It has produced some good talent, though. Now, will Khalil Mack be number one? I don't think so. But if they do trade down or do whatever, Khalil Mack is their pick, in my opinion. Jeff hasn't said anything, so I'm just waiting on Jeff to jump in here and smack me or smack you because I want to hear what he thinks about my thoughts.
Well, Mack had that big game against Ohio State, and that's huge for a guy coming from a non-BCS school. I'm not quite buying Mack, you know, but, I mean, he is a first-round pick and probably high in the first round.
Okay. Well, we're still waiting. We got about 2 minutes left in the show. Left for this pick to come up. Because, in my opinion, once this pick is made, the show's over. But no, it's not. Anyway, because
Jerry Jinks.
So we have to wait and see what happens. Excuse me?
They'll lose again this year.
No. I understand you are what your record dictates or what your record is. I understand that. But it was a comedy of errors, just a lot of things happening, and it was an anomaly, in my opinion, because this is a playoff team. And to add someone like this and to possibly get a Ryan Mallett or one of the other quarterbacks in the second or third round, preferably in the second round, it just adds more weapons and more the way the formula is right now. It's to play good defense, have a sound running game, and pass when necessary. I said that earlier after the Seahawks won the Super Bowl, and I still believe, like I said, this is a copycat league. So everybody's going to want to shore up their defense, especially their DBs, And their pass rush. That's why guys like Clowney are in such high demand, because you get a solid pass rush that negates the passing game because the quarterback has no time to pass the ball. So they're in high demand. Offensive tackles, defensive linemen are in high demand, and I suspect that's what we're going to see a lot of, especially in the first 10 picks. I'd be extremely surprised if I happen to see a quarterback, and right now the pick is in. So we'll have to see in the next 30 seconds or more what's going to happen. Am I going to be elated or am I going to be disappointed? We'll have to see what happens. What do you think? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You know, all I'm going to say, Jerry, you know, just because the pick is in, you know, all that could mean that a trade has been announced or whatever, even though they haven't officially said it or anything like that. They didn't show anybody talking on the phone to a player in the green room. Houston, oh, well, maybe I'm wrong, because here comes the pick. Let's see if Jerry's going to cry, and what is the person he gets.
Oh, man, this is killing me. The time is here. The time is here.
The Houston Texans select Jadeveon Clowney. Oh, look at him crying.
Yes.
Crying.
Yes. Yes. My man, yes. Yes. All I can say, whoever we play this year, the quarterback is in serious jeopardy. Trust me.
You got
a healthy Brian Cushing coming back. You got a monster in J.J. Watt, and now we have Jadeveon Clowney. Man, I'm telling you, the heat is on. The heat is on.
I'm going to tell you right now. Because that's the side that RG3 likes to run to. If they put him on the right side and leave JJ on the left, that's where RG3 likes to run to. And we're going to see what he's made of, because week one is Texans at Washington. And the guy is a good player, very good player, no joke. But let's see what he does. And how he gets used. Jeff?
Wow. You know, I'll tell you, there's been a lot of talk about who the first pick would be, but it was pretty much what everybody was saying months ago. I mean, the knock on Clowney is, questionable work habits, and maybe he didn't play hard last year, and That's a serious knock, you know. The guy's an incredible athlete, and that's a rare athlete. But I mean, the thing is, it seemed like last year, and you can't blame the guy. He just wanted to stay healthy and not mess up getting a big contract. But then you think, you know, when he's in the pros, when he's in the last year of a contract, is he going to take it easy because he's afraid of getting hurt? You know, makes you wonder. And
well,
that's why these teams.
I have no doubt in my mind for the simple fact that they got Brian Cushing and J.J. Watt to bring this kid under their wing, and they bring it every down, and they're going to make sure that this kid is in tune to what they're all about in Houston, Texas. So I have no doubt this kid is going to play.
The inside scoop on Cushing, who's from Paramus, New Jersey, and back when he was in high school, takes time off in the summer, comes back, you know, when they start training camp for football, and all of a sudden he's got 20 pounds of muscle.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's been the knock on Cushing.
Victor,
well,
you got anything?
Yeah, real quick. Jeff said something that made me think, and I just lost my train of thought looking at this film on Jadeveon. Oh, that's what it was. Do you guys realize this? Just 3 years ago, he was scheduled to appear on our show.
Yes,
right.
I realize that.
3 years ago, he was scheduled to appear on the FSP Crew show. Black had booked him. For whatever reason, they backed out. But it was to decide what college he was going to attend. And now we're sitting here, 3 years later, celebrating the fact that he's the number one overall pick going to the Houston Texans and dealing with the Jerry Jinx. Good luck to the young man. I hope that he listens to J.J. Watt, gets the work ethic of J.J. Watt, and they figure out a way to keep him on the field every play. You know, they want to compare him to Willie McGinnis. Willie is a special player, very special player. And if he can be, you know, as good as Willie, then he would have been worth all the hype. He would have been worth all the hype. That's all I got on that. I know you want to get to the Rams. They've got like 3 minutes and 30 seconds left until they pick.
So I'll let you set that up.
Jeff, the St. Louis Rams, they have several needs. I don't know if you're in a position to talk about them. Which way do you think, with the needs that the Rams have, if you want to talk about that, that they're going to go?
I think they're going to go with the offensive line. I think they're going to take Greg Robinson from Auburn.
I disagree. That's all.
Okay, well,
I mean,
your reason why you disagree.
The reason why I believe that Robinson is probably the best offensive lineman there. But I think the bloodline and the connection with the bloodline is going to have something to do with this pick.
Are you talking about Jake Matthews?
Yes. Now, I also like Taylor Lewan because that kid is nasty. He's really nasty. But, you know, it's crazy how we get, you know, caught up in all these friendships and families and all this other stuff. But Greg Robinson would be a very good pick here because they can move him to the right tackle while they still have Jake Long. Not Jake Long. What's the guy that left Miami and came up there to be the left tackle and got hurt?
Jake Long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got Jake Long, and he's recovering. So when he comes back, he can go to left tackle and Robson can get shift to right tackle. Lewan as well as Matthews have that ability as well. They can also shift him inside. That's the difference. Lewan can be put inside or outside. Robinson is strictly a tackle in my opinion. So I agree that they go offensive line. I agree. But I just differ on the individuals.
Okay, well, they got less than a minute and a half. And I didn't see they just showed the war room of the Rams, and I didn't see one of those people in that war room on the phone talking to anyone. And it just put up there, Jeff Fisher has never selected an lineman in the first round. So is this going to be a first, or is it going to hold true of Jeff Fisher, and is he going to grab a skill player in this pick? Rams have the leverage right now, so they can go any way they want to go. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. I'm getting a call on my phone because somebody wants to talk to me probably about the pick. And I'm not in a position to do that, but
we'll have to wait and see.
Excuse me?
Can we agree that this is not going to be a quarterback? Can we agree that it's not going to be Manziel, Broyles, or any of those other guys?
Oh, well, I don't know about Jeff, but I can definitely agree that the number two pick in the draft will not be a quarterback that the Rams pick. Now, they may go, and I may be stepping out of bounds here, but they may go at 13 possibly for a quarterback. But the number two pick, no way. Like I've been saying for the longest, without nauseam, I don't think there's any quarterback, even though they may get picked, that's worthy of a top 10 pick in this draft. I'd be very surprised if a quarterback gets picked in the top 10 when there's a lot of other skilled players and positions that some of these teams need that they can grab and wait on a quarterback tomorrow. But, you know, as we know, that there's always going to be this one team. All it takes is one team to grab a quarterback that needs a quarterback, and it can happen anywhere between 1 and 10. I don't think it's going to, but it can happen. Jeff, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, this is perceived to be a very deep draft, and there are some good quarterbacks, but not necessarily top 10 guys. I like Derek Carr. I think some people hold it against him that his brother was a disappointment. I think that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he looked lousy at his pro day, but there's still a lot of good tape on Bridgewater. I think those guys could be good NFL quarterbacks. And
good.
And maybe we got a number two pick.
Good pick, right, Jeff. You called Greg Robinson, and that's what it was. So,
I think the thing is, you can't go wrong with talent. You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
of course you got to balance need, but if you go too much on need, then you end up kicking yourself a couple of years later because
right.
you missed out on a great player for somebody who was marginal. But the thing is, like Cleveland, they got two first-round picks, and they might be able, and they need a quarterback. They need a lot of things, and if they could get a quarterback with the second first-round pick, that could be a real good move for that team.
All right. Well, Black's not here. He's supposed to be talking about the third pick, so I'll jump in here. Third pick, quite naturally, is Jacksonville Jaguars, and this is a team that definitely needs a quarterback. One of the worst quarterback teams in the last 3 years with Chad Henne or one of my favorite quarterbacks to hate on is Blaine Gabbert, who's no longer there. They need defensive end / linebacker, wide receiver, right tackle. They need a lot. Center, guard, linebacker, free safety, cornerback. But their main need is the quarterback. They need to get somebody that is a draw. Is it a possibility that Johnny Manziel jumps in here? Victor, your thoughts on that?
I honestly don't see a quarterback going. We're talking about Cleveland, right? Cleveland.
No, we're talking about Jacksonville. They got the third pick.
Oh, my bad. My bad, Jacksonville. My bad. Well, let's see. Let's look at what they did. They got Toby Gerhardt to replace MJD. They just lost one of their linebackers, starting linebackers, because he had a stroke in the middle of a game and no one really knew, neither did he.
Right.
Defense is pretty good. They might go get an offensive tackle to go with Jokel, who they had last year. However, I don't see quarterback going here. My guy, Khalil Mack, is going to Jacksonville. Will that sell tickets like other companies? No. Will that shore up that defense? Yes. The reason why they gave Chad Henne that extra bit of money for 2 years or so is so that he can start over the next 2 years as they develop a quarterback. I think, quite honestly, Jacksonville feels that you've got Bortles, you've got Manziel, you've got Metzenberger, the guy out of LSU, you've got Garoppolo out of San Jose, you got a couple of good quarterbacks that will fall to the second round. Your boy A.J. McCarron,
right,
who will fall to the second round. They can get them cheaper and develop them. And that's why they paid Chad Henne that money. Now, I also see, because they have issues with your boy Blackman and his drug situation, they could possibly jump up there and steal Sam Watkins from Cleveland. Because either Watkins is going to go three places, in my opinion. He's either going to go here to Jacksonville, if Matt doesn't go, he's going to go to Cleveland, or he's going to Oakland. Those are the three places I see Watkins. Watkins is not getting out of the top five. He is not. So that's my thoughts on it. And we get Jeff, and then I see we got a caller on the line too.
Jeff.
I'm sorry. I'm juggling a lot of stuff here. But, Jacksonville has a lot of needs. I mean, and besides the on-the-field needs, they need to put some butts in the seats,
Right.
Mm-hmm. I just, you know, I'm so sick and tired of hearing which team's going to move to L.A. They should just move the Jaguars to L.A., and then that's done. You know, it's finished. You know, it just, and, you know, it stinks for the people in Jacksonville, but, you know, they're not that far from Atlanta, and it wasn't like they've had an NFL team for, you know, 75 years or anything like that. You know, I really don't know the philosophy of the Jacksonville management. I know a little bit about the owner, Mr. Khan, and, you know, the guy's a billionaire in the auto parts business, but, you know, I think he tries, you know, running football teams a little different, and he did put his foot down with Maurice Jones-Drew, because most teams don't do that, you know.
Right.
But,
right.
Like I said, Mr. Khan must know something. He's a multi-billionaire. Came here with the shirt on his back, you know. I don't think they're going to take Manziel, but, you know, if they did, it would generate excitement. But then he'd have to play and play well to make a difference, you know.
Right.
You know,
okay.
If he's banged up or he's playing crappy, it's not going to help.
Here comes the pick.
Blake Bortles, keeping him in Florida.
Oh, this is a quarterback draft.
They picked a quarterback? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? Well, I got to get your cousin in here to talk about the first three picks. Welcome, Mikal. How you doing? We got a special two-hour show for draft day. First three picks are in. Your thoughts?
Oh, my God. 2 hours listening to my cousin? I'm going
to
shoot myself.
Hey, guy. You
I'm
going to
shoot myself.
Come on, man. Show some love here. Come on, show some love today.
I'll hang up for you. That is love. Hey, but listen. Houston, that was a safe pick. St. Louis, that was a safe pick. Who did they took Blake Bortles. Oh, okay. I don't know about that one.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know about that one. I think they reaching a little bit with that. I mean, Bortles is a good quarterback, but I don't think they have the type of coaches that get, you know, that Bortles need around him to get him there where he needs to be at. You know, he need to be developed. He still needs some development, but they ain't got it there in Jacksonville, man. That dude's career is just about to be over.
Jeff.
You know, like Jim Neighbors used to say, surprise, surprise, surprise.
Surprise.
And, you know, I'd love to know, what did they see that other people didn't? You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, even the lousy teams, they spend a lot of time, a lot of effort. What did, you know, what made them, you know, fall in love with this guy, for lack of a better term? But that's the thing with the draft. All you need is one team to love you, and you're a first-round pick.
Wow. I'm Victor, I don't know about you, but I'm shocked. Talk to me.
Well, I look at it this way. I didn't think they were going to go quarterback. In the first round, I said that earlier. But I did believe Bortles was going to go ahead of Manziel. I did believe that. He's actually the same dimensions as Chad Henne.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, Chad Henne is going to start. They're going to try to develop Bortles.
There's a trade.
Here it comes! Victor, this is on you, Victor. Since we got this trade going right now, we're going to transition over to Cleveland. Talk to me what Cleveland should need, and what do you think this trade's all about?
Well, Cleveland just traded with Buffalo, and this trade is about getting an offensive lineman, or. It's about getting some help on the at the receiver. They shouldn't get help at receiver right now because I believe they just got Robert. I forgot his last name last year in the second round. They've got a couple good receivers. Their need is tight end, at offensive line. So either they're going to get Matthews or LaJuan, or I don't see him being a receiver here. And this is
well, let
terrible.
Me put it this way. Let me put it this way. If Cleveland takes Sammy Watkins, it would hurt Oakland because Oakland, I think, is next up after Cleveland, and I think they want to take Sammy Watkins in the worst way.
You know, I think Joe's right on the money. And that's what inspires teams to make trades, and there's all this intelligence and counterintelligence. And
right.
From what I've heard, the Raiders love Watkins. This
right.
is a good
oh, yeah.
draft for receivers, though. You know, I think Mike Goodtimes Evans is as good as Watkins,
okay.
maybe. But that might inspire Buffalo to make the move. And, you know, Cleveland probably, they could, I don't know,
yeah.
I didn't catch the terms of that trade. But, you know, they got another pick late in the first round. If they play their cards right, Cleveland might put themselves back on the map.
Well, let me put it this way.
Like this.
Then now, Buffalo can go two ways. They can either go to Mac or Sammy Watkins. I think that's the pick. Go talk to me, Bicker.
Well, they were giving out the conditions of the trade. Buffalo is fourth overall. They send the ninth overall, first next year, and fourth next year.
Wow.
To the Browns.
Guess what they're going to go for? I'm thinking they're going for the wide receiver. I don't think they're going for the linebacker.
No. I think they're going to go tackle. I really think they're going to go tackle. And they actually
pick. They're going wide receiver. I'm with you, Jerry.
There's still two excellent offensive tackles on the board.
I told you.
Well,
that's the only reason they would go up to get somebody like that, because they knew that if they didn't, that he wouldn't be there again.
Well,
wow.
That tells me that Oakland had better get on the ball if they want Mike Evans, because they want and need a big receiver bad. And you know what? I think the first Watkins' future. I really do. I like Emmanuel. I like E.J. Manuel in Buffalo for the quarterback. The only problem is you got too many chefs in that kitchen. What I mean by that, you got Stevie Johnson talking. Stevie Johnson wants to get his piece of the pie. You got the young receiver, Robert Woods, who they had last year. They have a need at tight end because Chris Chandler's good. But he's not that big of an impact. And that also tells
right.
me that the tight ends, Ebron probably just slipped all the way down to the end of the draft. He had to slip all the way
wow,
down.
Wow, man. This is the fourth pick, and this is going on already? Oh, my God. Wow. You know, I'm telling you right now, you know the Oakland Raiders just got, like, backslapped. I'm telling you, they got – I hate to say it, slapped, but they got bit slapped just now.
Jerry, okay.
Yes.
So right now, who's coming up next? Is it Oakland?
The next pick is the Oakland Raiders.
So Oakland, what are their needs? They went out and got a left tackle already. They need a wide receiver. They need to fix their aging defense, even though they went out and got everybody and their mother on defense in a free agency. Do they go out and get Johnny Manziel? Because that would be the new Ken Stabler. That would be their new Ken Stabler. And
I mean,
you can sit behind your boy Matt Shaw.
Wow.
So it's
Buffalo.
Mike Evans or Johnny Manziel, in my opinion.
Nah, they're going to get that linebacker.
Khalil Mack?
Yep.
But him and Roach. Putting him and Roach together, that will be okay. I like that. But I think they might need they might want to go get a DB or something. But they need a wide receiver.
They're going to take the sexy pick. They're going to go for Khalil Mack.
They need a wide receiver. Mike Evans. So.
Wow.
And just,
well.
Now, hold on. Here's my next question.
What's that?
I know I know you're in charge of the show today, Jerry, but I got to ask some questions.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. With two teams left that need a quarterback in the top 10 before you start getting to the 15s and 20 area, if Oakland doesn't get a quarterback, does Minnesota take a shot and get one of the three bigs? Meaning, do they go get Manziel, even though Zimmerman said something? Do they go get Bridgewater? Because they kept Bridgewater up in Minnesota for what, 6 days? 6 days studying Bridgewater.
Right.
Okay? Do they go and get a linebacker, Khalil Mack, because they're not happy with their linebackers up there? You know, that's some questions I got to ask right now. I'm like, okay, if I'm Minnesota, because I think Minnesota comes up after Oakland and then it's Atlanta.
Atlanta, yeah.
So
now,
that's what
go
I'm
ahead.
Looking at.
Well, Oakland needs a wide receiver quite naturally. You know, they need a quarterback, offensive tackle, a cornerback, a defensive end, defensive tackle, a running back, a safety, and linebacker. So, but they're one of their top needs was a wide receiver, and I gotta believe they may take a wide receiver here.
I think so too because Daniel Jeremiah and I forgot my guy's name. They said
Ian Rappaport.
Ian Rappaport. They said they wanted both players. Now they get to choose. This will tell you which one's more important. I'm telling you, Mike Evans is the better fit here because you give Shaw a weapon on defense. They're decent. They're decent. They've got another pick later on in, I believe, the later second round. They only got four or five picks this year. So, you can –
They either – Oakland's either going to take Matthews or Mack, man. They're going to take Matthews or Mack.
I lean
more towards Mack.
I'm surprised Khalil Mack is dropping. This is only the fifth pick, so we'll see what happens here.
Khalil Mack.
There we go.
That's a good pick.
That is a very good pick for the Raiders.
I think, personally, unless they have targeted another big receiver, or they find a way to get back into the first round, I think they could have gone and got a linebacker in the second round, probably the guy from Oklahoma. Although he's an outside guy, he's an outside linebacker, so he rushes to the quarterback like a DN in a 3-4 technique. He's a very explosive guy. He's going to fit well here in the Bay Area. I would give Shaw a better weapon than what he has in wide receiver right now. I really would. That's just me.
And they take Khalil Mack.
Wow.
Say again?
Yep.
All right.
I told you.
Now we've got the first five picks. Atlanta didn't make a move to move up. They're in need of an offensive tackle, a defensive end slash outside linebacker, a tight end, safety, defensive tackle, believe it or not, a wide receiver, inside linebacker, and a cornerback. Who has the sixth pick that would be?
Me. Well,
okay, Jeff, talk to me.
I think they're probably there's still two great tackles on the board. Jake Matthews is still on the board, and so is Taylor Lewin from Michigan. I think they take one of those guys.
Okay. What do you think, Macau? Who do you think Atlanta's going to be taking on this pick?
I think they're going to have to take Matthews, man. They're going to have to. I don't see how they're going to get around it. They're going to have to take him. I mean,
no. I'm going with Matthews. I'm saying they're going to go with Matthews.
Okay. Victor, talk to me. Atlanta Falcons, they got a bunch of needs, one of them offensive tackle. Talk to me.
Of course, with the offensive tackle situation, they definitely need to do that. They need somebody that's going to be mean and nasty. And that's what the owner said, that they need to be nasty up front on both sides. Greg LeJuan played in the Big Ten.
You mean Taylor LeJuan?
Yes, thank you. Taylor LeJuan played in the Big Ten for Michigan, where all they did was smash mouth. They had a different offense this year, so it was more conventional than when it was with Denard Robinson. And the kid is a mauler. Now, Matthews played in the SEC for Texas A&M, protecting Johnny Manziel. Now, the kid has feet. As I said, the bloodline. He has the pedigree. So you can't lose either way in my book with this one. However, I look at the experience of playing between these two. One has only played offensive line for 2 years. That's Taylor LeJuan out of Michigan. He came in as a defensive end to Michigan under Rich Rodriguez. The bloodline speaks for itself. Father, Hall of Fame lineman, very coachable, excellent footwork, excellent hands. I go with the bloodline with Matthews, but it would not surprise me. It would not surprise me one bit if LeJuan was taken. And by the way, Jerry, they don't need a tight end because a couple years ago when Tony Gonzalez was talking about retiring, they went and got that big guy out of UCLA who spent 2 years learning from Tony Gonzalez. So, and he's looking pretty good. I definitely see a offensive lineman here. Defensive lineman, nah, not yet.
They need a pass rusher in the worst way.
Okay, but there is no exceptionally talented DN in that deserves to be drafted in the top part of this draft, especially when your moneymaker is getting knocked on the ground 40, 50 times in a season, and if Matty Ice melts, they lose. So I say they go offensive line. But you're right, they do need a DN. They do, but who is that top DN that's worth being the sixth overall pick?
That's going to be answered in less than 2 minutes. Two minutes, 45 seconds. Macau, your thoughts? Or did you give me your thoughts already?
Yeah, I think they're going Matthews. Atlanta's going to take Matthews.
Well, the first five picks so far is Davion Clowney to the Texans, Greg Robinson to the Rams, Blake Bortles to the Jaguars. Shocker to me right there. Another semi-shock is Sammy Watkins to the Bills, who traded up with Cleveland to get Sammy Watkins. And then Khalil Mack is it's probably a safe pick that makes pretty good sense. It's going to the Raiders. So now we go to number six and see what happens to the Atlanta Falcons and who they're going to take within the next 2 minutes. Wow. There's more sanity left in this, but that was last two picks were pretty shocking to me. Let me put it that way.
Let me ask you a question, Jerry. The fantasy impact, because we talked about that, only one offensive player. No, two offensive players thus far. The fantasy impact on Broyles, who I think is going to sit behind Henny, and then the impact of Sammy Watkins with Buffalo. Remember, I just listed a whole bunch of receivers they have and a bunch of talent Buffalo has. What is the fantasy impact of those two players coming to the NFL?
Well, let me put it this way. Bortles, number three. Watkins, number four. I can tell you right now, unless he falls flat on his face, Sammy Watkins is going to start on one side of the field opening day. Blake Bortles.
Hey, sir. Hey, Jerry, look out for me. I'm going to call y'all back.
All right. Blake Bortles, depending how he shows out, he's the number three pick. So the number three pick in the draft, in my opinion, does not fit. Does not fit, especially if it's a quarterback. So it depends on how he shows out in the off season, workouts, and into training camp. I gotta believe that there's a strong chance that Blake Bortles starts. Now, I understand they went down this road before with a rookie quarterback, and it didn't turn out too well with Blaine Gabbert. So I don't know if they wanted to do revisionist history here or put the seasoned veteran in there and let him play up until a certain point where Jacksonville has really nothing to play for, and then put Blake Bortles to get the experience later on in the season. But you don't pick a number three for nothing. You don't pick him number three for nothing.
You got the pick.
And it's Jake Matthews.
Jake Matthews.
Okay. You were right there, Victor. Ooh. Who was that?
Stop it. We have his dress on. Stop it. It's his sister. Jeez.
Anyway.
I think it's his sister.
Well, whatever. Whatever. Anyway, Victor, since you called this, what's your thoughts on Jake Matthews now? Going to Atlanta.
Well, again, as I said before, LaJuan or Matthews would have been a great pick. However, based upon what they do in Atlanta, you know, the mauler would have been, you know, LaJuan. However, the fact that he's only done it for 2 years.
Uh-huh.
2 years. That's why I went Matthews, because he grew up. He grew up in a family, and he grew up learning from one of the best of all time. So what you're getting in this guy is discipline, football acumen, which translates to excellent football knowledge, a support system, because the whole family, every male, it's like, you know, in medieval times, every male had to go out and kill something to be considered a male. Well,
right.
In the Matthews family, every male has to go out and become an offensive, defensive player and excel at it. It's only been one Matthews child that wasn't good, and it was the kid that went to Oregon. He was a linebacker, and Philadelphia drafted him. He's no longer in the league. But these guys right here, he's a natural. Good feet, good hands, great punch, good vision, learned from his father. I mean, that's all I can tell you. It's an excellent pick, especially for Matty Ice. Especially for Matty Ice.
Okay.
So that's what I got.
All right. Well, the next pick is on the clock, and it happens to be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at number 7. Their needs are a wide receiver, a right guard, linebacker, defensive end, quite naturally a quarterback because supposedly Mike Glennon is on the block, a tight end, and a defensive tackle. Now, do we see another wide receiver coming off the board, as in Mike Evans, or do we see another quarterback coming off the board? That's the only two options I see here.
I disagree with you, but go ahead.
I see either a wide receiver or a quarterback, because the simple fact is the quarterback that they have down there, Jake McGowan, I don't think he is going to be the quarterback on, in my opinion, the first day of regular season. And I think they want to get their franchise quarterback. I think Lovie Smith wants to get their franchise quarterback. Or he can go in the direction of getting a wide receiver, as in Mike Evans. Since you chimed in earlier, Victor, what's your thoughts?
I hope Jeff has something for this one, too, because my viewpoint is totally different than what you said. Donald Penn was their starting left tackle. Donald Penn is now in Oakland. They don't have a starting left tackle. Taylor Lewan fits perfectly for what Lovie Smith wants to do. Maul the ball. You don't need McNown to be Superman like he was in Chicago because he doesn't have two top-tier wide receivers. He's got Vincent Jackson, and I agree with you. I think Mike Evans would be a good fit here. However, I think the left tackle is more important, and that left tackle is Taylor Lewan. Mike Evans would be good, again, like I said. But seeing though they just got rid of their best offensive lineman, and he's now in Oakland, I think that opens the door for Lewan more so than it does Evans. So, and you know what? If things keep going the way they go, Mike Evans might end up in Detroit, and Detroit wants Mike Evans. So that might just happen. But that's my thought process.
All right. Jeff, your thoughts?
You know, with Tampa, Mike Evans, and there's talk that they're not fond of Mike Glennon and that they like Manziel, so that's a possibility.
Right.
So I think those are the two big possibilities for Tampa.
Yeah, I got to believe this. I mean, I understand what you're saying, Victor. You may be right, but I mean, Taylor Lewan's out there. I can't see them taking Taylor Lewan here. I really can't. I think they're going to go to the skill position for the simple reason the division they play in. You got Tampa Bay, Atlanta, Carolina, and New Orleans. That's a lot of offense that they have to deal with, and I got to believe that they want to be able to keep up offensively. I know, Lovie Smith is a defensive-minded coach, but I think they are going to want to go on the offensive side. It's going to be coming up probably in the next about a minute. Probably when they come out to the commercial break, the pick may be in. And let me do this real quick, and we'll be right
back.
Huh?
No, I was trying to help you finish it because you're about to go to commercial.
Right back.
If you love sports, you're in store for a treat. Every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern, you can tune into The Master Plan with Jerry the Master Taylor, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. The Master Plan features
a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of NBA, a little bit of baseball, a little bit of basketball, a little bit of football, a little bit of everything. And this is The Master Plan.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The Master Plan. Information, motivation, variety.
All right. The pick is in. We're waiting for the commissioner to step up to the podium, which he's doing right now. With the seventh pick in the 2014 draft, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers select...
You were right. Mike Evans.
Mike Evans. Just call me Mini Mike, okay? As in Mini Mike Mayock.
Please.
I'm telling they want a skill position guy because of the division that they're in. They have to keep up offensively. Like a lot of teams that need quarterbacks, these teams are going to go into the second round and start grabbing quarterbacks or
trade from the second round into the first late first round to get their quarterback. So, wow, this guy's overcome.
Oh, yeah. He sure is. Now, here's the deal, guy. Quite honestly, Mike Evans, the embrace between Mike Evans and Johnny Manziel. You know what? It couldn't go wrong either way with getting alignment on Mike Evans. Because what do you do now? Just what you said, Jerry. You compete with Julio Jones and White. You compete with Jeremy Graham, Jimmy Graham and Marquise Colston and Kenny Stills. You compete with, there's no receivers in North Carolina, if you want to count Jericho Cotchery and Tayshaun Avant as star receivers. No. I mean, you give McCown what he just had in Chicago. 2 6'5"
plus
receivers that can go up and get the ball and make people miss. Now, Minnesota just made a trade.
Fireworks. It's some fireworks, man. This is only the eighth pick. Only the eighth pick in the first round. And we got two trades already. Oh, my God.
I told you Cleveland was going to move up. I told you Cleveland was going to move back up. So Cleveland moved up in front of who? Detroit. Right? Because Detroit was coming up next.
Is that right?
Yes. So
Cleveland moves up ahead of Detroit because Detroit. No, Buffalo's got the next pick.
No.
They traded it. That was a trick. Buffalo traded that pick to Cleveland.
That's right. Wow.
So Cleveland moves in front of Detroit. So what does that tell me? Okay, both their receivers just went. They wanted a receiver. Mike Evans just left, and so did Sammy Watkins. Now, what does Cleveland need other than a top-flight wide receiver? Their defense is fine. It'll surprise me. It really will surprise me if they get a defensive player. Their offensive line is pretty good. I don't know why they will move up other than to get another receiver. Or it might be Mr. Manziel time.
You're right, Victor. I think this may be Mr. Manziel time. I really believe that. That's a good thought, Victor.
Because Minnesota, they were going to get Bridgewater, but Manziel's sitting there. That just confirms what I thought that they were going to do with Bridgewater. Because anytime you keep a college kid 6 days for a workout, you have serious interest in them. Serious interest. So I think Cleveland moved back up to get in front of Detroit or in front of Tennessee, whichever one, to get Johnny Manziel. And all Minnesota had to give up, all Cleveland had to give up is the ninth overall pick and a fifth-round pick this year. In comparison to what they got from Buffalo, they got Buffalo's first-round pick next year. Cleveland rocks. But I do believe Johnny Manziel is about to get picked.
I got to believe, Victor, that I think you're right on point here. Jeff, your thoughts?
Yeah, it looks like that might be what's going on because usually when you trade up, it's usually, you got to really have a lot of love for somebody. And, Manziel is such a polarizing figure. And, going to Cleveland, that's like the Bermuda Triangle for quarterbacks, But they got to keep trying, and it will give them a little excitement. Vic compared Manziel to Stabler. I think of him more as like a Michael Vick type, which, ironically, he's righty, and both Vic and Stabler are lefty. But,
here we go.
Who will it be?
Whoa! Justin Gilbert.
Whoa! Oh, you're kidding me.
The Lions liked him a lot. Whoa.
Yeah, you're right.
Cleveland's going to have the best corners in the league.
Let me tell you something, man. I'm telling you something right now. I said it by the end of last year. Cleveland is my sleeper team this year. I'm telling you.
You should switch teams again. Become a Browns fan. You should have
to
get off on that.
Cleveland is my sleeper team. I was high on Josh Gordon before the fantasy season last year. He showed out. I'm telling you, there's a whole different mindset in Cleveland. The turnover regime, even from last year to this year, they turn over a new regime. There's a new mindset, and I'm surprised. Very aggressive, and they want to put all the ducks in a row to compete in that.
Detroit. They wanted to beat out Detroit to get Gilbert because they like them.
Well, you know what that means now, Jeff. That means Detroit's going to keep one of the Michigan's own, Michigan State's DB. I forgot his name. It's Dixon, or I know it begins with a D, who is a second-rated. Or they might get the kid.
Denard.
Or they might get the kid out of Virginia Tech.
Wow. Wow.
So that's what that tells me.
But, you know, this is what good teams do. Good teams, they are willing to take the chance and trade up for the guys they really like. And if you're a good team, it works out, you know, and you can't be afraid.
Well, they moved that one spot. Minnesota.
Yeah, but that one spot can make a difference.
You're right.
So now Minnesota has the 26th pick? 23rd pick? What is that?
No. They got the 9th pick. They're up next. They just switched.
Oh, Minnesota has the 9th pick. Okay.
And
Minnesota quite naturally needs a quarterback, outside and middle linebacker, cornerback, guard, strong safety, wide receiver, because they're looking for wide receivers. They need a running back to back up Adrian Peterson, and possibly a tight end.
I think they're good. Kyle Rudolph,
you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's not a dynamic tight end. They need a dynamic tight end. They need a tight end that can operate more dynamically in space. Rudolph is a plotter.
I think the only tight end with a first-round grade is Ebron from North Carolina.
Yep. Right.
And I hope the Giants don't draft him. They liked him, but I don't think he blocks enough for the Giants' liking. Nothing against the guy, but – you know, he is a receiver. He's not a blocking tight end. He's not a dual-purpose tight end. He's straight-up receiving tight end, which is good, but that doesn't fit into every offense. But the Giants are killing me. They're 5 years in a row. They got a different tight end every year, and then they wonder why they can't get good production from that position.
Right.
In the NFL, it's high turnover, but you need a little continuity. It really helps you be more productive.
Mm-hmm.
And
it does.
While we're analyzing the draft, I don't like the fact the draft got pushed into May because they got less time to work out a contract, and it gives the rookies less time to get ready for training camp because you want the rookies to contribute right away, and they need that extra time. So, but the NFL is so effing greedy, that outweighed everything, so they moved the draft into May. I don't like it. I remember when I was a kid one year, because of the USFL, they had the draft in February because they wanted to edge out the USFL.
Oh, yeah, I remember. I remember that, but I saw the special that NFL Network did. That's how they got Steve Young. That's how they got Reggie White and all those other folks, because they had their draft earlier and paid more money. Let's go back to the draft with Minnesota. Now, Zimmerman is a defensive coach.
Right.
Linebacker is a need in Minnesota. Linebacker
right.
is a huge need in Minnesota right now, along with some corner play. But I promise you, I honestly think Bridgewater's the pick. If I'm the owner of the Minnesota Vikings, and I spend all this money for 6 days to bring in a kid to evaluate him, I know it's a drop in a bucket to a billionaire, and it might be a drop in a bucket compared to what you might waste on him if you draft him without thoroughly evaluating him. But I don't think Zimmerman, is playing politics. I think he really does not like Johnny Manziel. I really think that. And this morning on NFL AM, when Eric Davis asked the coach of Texas A&M, does he think Johnny Manziel is going to be picked in the top 10, I mean in the top 5, he hesitated, and he made some type of joke about it and said that he deserves to be picked in the first round, but he should come back. But then when he asked about Mike Evans, oh, the coach lit up and said, yes, he definitely belongs up there, da-da-da-da-da. What that tells me as an owner, as a GM, that if the coach, a good guy, doesn't believe he belongs in the top 10 in the NFL, I'm not going to waste my money on him. But he can conceivably, looking at where he might go, he might fall to Dallas. He literally might fall to Dallas, in my opinion.
Well, and what do you think was going to happen when if Johnny Manziel is sitting there at 16 and the Dallas Cowboys are on the clock?
Jerry Jones loves to make money. He can sell a lot of Johnny Manziel jerseys, keeping them in the state of Texas, but then he opens himself up for a lot of ridicule about your boy Tony Romo. He just paid Romo. And if you're going to draft Johnny Manziel to sit behind Tony Romo after all that money, something's wrong. But the Vikings pick is in, and I'm not going to steal your thunder.
2014 Vikings pick is coming up.
The survey says Anthony Barr, linebacker. That was
okay.
Pick.
Linebacker. Linebacker slash defensive end. Okay.
Last running back. He was a running back turned GM.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Turned a linebacker.
Right. Wow. You know, the problem I have with this kid is I see his bottom half, especially his calves, and he's very slight on the bottom half of his body. And just like it said up there, he needs to increase his strength and endurance, which I feel is right about that, because being a linebacker, you got to have a lot of leverage and being able to explode off the ball, and quite naturally, he's was an excellent pass rusher in college, and they're going to try to use his skills in the NFL. So he's going to have to build himself up. Because if you look at his legs, look at the bottom half from his knees down. Very slight, very small for a linebacker. For a linebacker.
Yes, he's
so,
a runner. He's a long
excuse
distance
me?
Runner. He's a long distance runner.
Yes.
And I agree with you.
Yes.
But I believe the weight and conditioning coaches are going to build up that part, because I too see that as an issue. They're going to chop his legs out from under him. So I agree with you. Oh, we got a note. The Lions already got their pick. Very Sanders.
Uh-oh. Lions didn't have – uh-oh. What is this?
Wow.
Who is this going to
Barry
be?
Barry Sanders is extremely old. Well,
wow.
I'm telling you, I think it's going to be the defensive back out of Virginia Tech, or it's my guy out of
Kyle Fuller.
Michigan
yeah.
State. Yeah, oh, my God.
Denard or Fuller, most likely. That was a really quick pick. Guess they're ready.
DeMarcus.
Right last name, wrong first name.
My guy, the microphone's covering Barry Sanders' face. That's how short this guy is. You know, but he's so dominant. They went tight end.
Eric Ebron.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding
wow.
me? Another offensive
that's,
weapon.
Weapon. I'm happy because I didn't want the Giants taking him, so.
Wow, another offensive weapon. Oh, my. Oh, man. He's got another new shiny toy for Sam Bradford. Oh, my God.
They got Golden Tate on the other side. They got a tight end. That's they can't double anybody. I mean, that's
wow.
An interesting
but they
pick.
They can't cover anybody either. That's the problem.
Yeah,
right?
It's going to be some high-scoring games in Detroit.
Well, let me ask you guys something here, okay? Jeff just named them out. They got Golden Tate. They got Nate Burles is still there. They got Megatron. And they also have another tight end called Brandon Pettigrew. So what's going to happen to him? You got Eric Ebron. What the heck? Come on. I mean, somebody explain to me this pick.
Well, I'll explain it to you. I don't think there's going to be a wide-open offense. You got to remember their coach is Caldwell.
Yes.
Caldwell loved the double tight end formation. He loved having two wide receivers off the ball so that they would not get jammed. So if you got double tights, single back, which would be Reggie Bush or your boy.
Joyke Bell.
Joyke
Bell.
Yeah, that looks to me like Edgerrin James and a double tight end set because Pettigrew will now become your blocking tight end. Ebron's going to become your receiving tight end. Reggie Wayne Marvin Harrison is now Megatron. Golden Tate is Reggie Wayne. I'm telling you, if they don't go this route, if they don't, they have got to get a receiver, a taller receiver to take the pressure off of Megatron if they don't go the double tight end route. Because it surprised me that Mark Mayhew did not go and get that defensive back. It really surprised me. I know that a lot of teams in the NFL need D-back help. Like, for instance, Pittsburgh, they're going D-back. Dallas, they need a D-back. But like we said, Johnny Manziel is going to fall right into Dallas' lap. We'll see what Jerry Jones does there.
All right.
DB help. A lot of folks. So we'll see.
Well, up next with the 11th pick is the Tennessee Titans. Quarterback, defensive end or slash outside linebacker. Quite naturally, got rid of Chris Johnson, so they're going to be in the market for a running back, an inside linebacker, maybe a tight end, a wide receiver because they got rid of Kenny Britt, a center, and a safety. So I'm thinking in here, Alton Verner left. They have a big need for a cornerback. Who do they go here? Maybe one of those two guys you were talking about, Fuller or Denard. I think those two cornerbacks, maybe they go that route. What do you think there, Vic?
Yeah, I mean, they just lost Altron Verner. They need help everywhere. Let's just face it. It wouldn't surprise me if they went and got Donaldson out of Pitt, the defensive tackle. It really wouldn't. But Kenny Britt's gone. They got a decent receiving core. I think they're going to hang their hat on your boy, Sean Green, as their pass back. Now, Kim Witherhunt is a pretty good offensive-minded coach. He can work magic with what he has. D-back or safety. No, they got to get safety. So cornerback or linebacker. I mean, do they have any issues with their offensive line? I don't think so. I'm not sure. What do you got, Jeff?
Some of these teams that aren't very good, it's like as long as they get, they can't go wrong because they have so many needs. You know what I mean? And you really can't go wrong with talent. There's a couple guys who dropped who are still on the board. Luan is still on the board. Aaron Donald, like you said, is still on the board. You can't go wrong with those guys. They need a running back, but now teams don't like taking running backs in the first round. you know, they could have used outside linebacker, but Anthony Barr is gone, so who knows? There's still – they got a lot of needs, still a lot of talent on the board. And on deck is the New York Giants.
New York Giants on deck, or is it –
Yeah.
Yeah, they're on deck. Tennessee's up the bat.
Is Tennessee's pick in?
No, the pick isn't in.
Not yet.
Oh.
That tells me that they're either shopping it or they're that tells me they're shopping it because just like Detroit, all the pick is in now. I think that you got to look at their needs. They might go ahead and just draft all defensive players, which I think will be a good thing for them. But, I don't know. I just don't know, my friend.
Hi, Mikal. Since you left, there's been some crazy things have been happening. Bills took Sammy Watkins. Who was after that?
When I left, I had told you Atlanta was going to take Matthews. Yeah, I knew about Mac. I knew what's his name was going to take Mac.
Mm-hmm.
But I was kind of surprised that Cleveland. I really thought Cleveland was going to go Johnny Football. I was real surprised about that. They got me. Then Minnesota got me. Just now with that, who did they get?
Detroit got Ebron.
Seen that took a tight end.
Yeah.
That was Detroit?
Yes.
Yeah, Detroit took Eric Ebron, which is a real big surprise.
I was like, what are they doing? Okay, that's on there.
Well, let me explain that one, because I don't know if you heard me. But we got to look at the head coach. Now, they're not going to be a wide-open offense like they've been in the past. Caldwell, he likes a two tight end formation. And I think Pettigrew goes to the blocking tight end who can catch, and Ebron becomes that wide receiver tight end. And you back up the two receivers.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
But
the
pick is in.
That's too high for that youngin'. That's too high.
Taylor Lewan. They went offensive line.
Okay.
Very good
now,
pick. You can't go wrong with that.
Sure can't. He's a mauler. The kid is a mauler. 2 years playing college football, drafted in the first round. He's a big guy, good feet, good hands. He's just a physical type of player. And Ken Whitehunt, he likes to have big boys on the line that move the pile. He's going to be that guy.
Okay.
I'm not sure if that would have been the pick for me, especially seeing as if they need help on the defensive backfield, but that's what it was.
All right, well, now that picks in, and we move on to the Giants. Unfortunately, Jeff is not taking this one. It's on Victor. Victor, the needs of the New York Giants, and where do you see them going?
Okay, Jeff, sorry to tell you, but I honestly think they're going wide receiver here. Two things make me think this. One, your boy Hakeem Nicks left. And as Jerry has said time and time again, Victor Cruz is not a number one. Two, Victor Cruz has stated on NFL Network or NFL AM, he would like to see the team get another big wide receiver.
Right.
Obviously, there isn't any, I'm not going to say there isn't any, there's not a lot of confidence in old boy that they had last year. I can't remember his name.
Reuben Randall?
Yeah, Reuben Randall, because he's in line to start. So I think they go wide receiver. However, that offensive line needs some help. I had them getting lost. Loon. Taylor Lewan. I'm sorry, I can't get the dude's name right. I had them getting Taylor Lewan, but Tennessee scooped him. So I know they got an offensive lineman out of Miami, but I think he's a little stiff.
there's word they want to get linebacker as well. But they got John Beeson up there, so I don't know if they want to go younger or what. If they do go defense, I do see them getting a middle linebacker out of Alabama, who's pretty good at finding the ball and making plays. But I wouldn't do that when I got Beeson there, unless you plan to just let Beeson go after a year or two. But I think get a receiver or a offensive lineman.
Okay. This is my two cents. Giants, okay, I don't know how much time we got.
You got plenty of time. Go
like
right
Zach
ahead, Jeff.
And the guard from Notre Dame, Zach Martin, I heard the Giants like him. Guard isn't as valued as tackle, but still it's important, and this guy is supposed to be a real stud. The Giants, this goes way back. They like drafting guys from Notre Dame. Even as they've changed general managers, that's still the case. And the Giants do not like drafting linebackers in the first round. And there's been some continuity. Back then it was George Young, and then Ernie Accorsi was promoted from within, and now it's Jerry Reese, who had worked under Accorsi. Giants haven't drafted a linebacker in the first round since Carl Banks. I am not joking. It's not a philosophically to that defense and the way they draft, it's not a priority. They love the pass rushers. They try to get good defensive backs early in the draft, and then at linebacker, they deal with later draft picks and maybe hope to get lucky with a free agent once in a while. They don't pay the big bucks to the linebackers because you gotta have some kind of priorities with the salary cap. And I guess they figure in that kind of 4-3 defense, they can get by with average linebackers. So it'd be nice if they had great linebackers, but when you get those great pass rush guys, it makes your defensive backs look great, and you can get by with average linebackers. I don't know. I mean, I think the Giants' wide receiver situation isn't quite as bad as Vic made it sound. I mean, I think they brought back Manningham. I think that a book is still out on Randall. But if they took Beckham from LSU, which is also, I think, Randall's from LSU, that would make me happy. And as a fan, I hate this term, but, drafting a guard isn't the sexy pick. But, hey, that's how you build a team. And, yep. They need some youth on that line. So I wouldn't be dancing, but I'd be happy if they made a pick like Zach Martin.
Hey,
Zach Martin. Zach Martin. What position does Zach Martin play? Linebacker?
Guard.
No, guard.
Okay.
Guard.
Okay.
Question.
Okay.
Real quick. Mathias Kiwanuka is a linebacker. They drafted him as a DN and stood him up.
He's been going back and forth. He's been going back and forth.
Okay. Because I thought when they drafted him, as a DN for linebacker.
They didn't move him into linebacker until they were overcrowded on the defensive line, and they had some injuries at linebacker. So kind of happened based on need. And I don't think they like changing positions with guys. I think they like to draft the guy for the position they're going to play him at, you know.
Okay. Well, we know the Giants pick is in. We haven't seen the commissioner step to the podium yet. But it's got to be coming up soon here. Jeff, you think it's going to be who you're picking, Zach Martin, or is it going to be a skill position?
I think Zach Martin is a good chance. It's a need, but he's rated high. I think it's a good fit.
Well, we know Johnny Manziel is not going anywhere.
Because the Giants had a very good lineman retire. David Beal had significant number of starts at four offensive line positions. I mean, he's good and he's versatile. I mean, that's four offensive line positions he played at. That's pretty good. Sometimes guys like that are basically backups, but he really helped the team out. He was a very good
Jeff,
player. So
I'm going to ask you for your reaction after he makes this pick.
The commissioner says Odell Beckham. Told you they were going wild.
That's a good pick. You can't go wrong with talent. You know.
Wow, that's what I'm thinking. Oh my gosh. Wow.
Well, that's what I said. you know, anytime someone was in the organization, especially in that position, mind you, says we need a better receiver. They're not booing.
Wow. Well, let me say this is pretty ironic, Jeff, because you know who really wanted this wide receiver, Jeff. Do you really know who wanted the wide receiver? They happen to be in the same building. There was a possibility that the Jets were going to trade up to try to get
Giants,
this wide receiver because they
the
thought
Giants
that
receivers.
He was on par to Sammy Watkins and Mike Evans. He wasn't that far back, and they wanted to get this kid. And the team in the same building picked him up. Wow.
You know,
wow.
Maybe they put a bug in there or something. I'll tell you, the Giants wide receiver situation might not be the best. It looks very good now. But the Jets wide receiver situation is pathetic.
Yeah.
But this is supposed to be a good draft for wide receivers. Supposed to be pretty deep.
Well, you still got Marquise Lee out there. You still got Kelvin Benjamin out there. So if they want to go wide receiver, they may wind up picking one of those. Meaning the Jets.
I'm not ready to give up on Reuben Randle because, I mean, I think he's only got 2 seasons in the league already. I mean, I think the book is still out on him. But, hey, you know, they're going to have a nice bunch at receiver.
All right. The number 13th pick happens to be on Jeff, the Chicago Bears. Your thoughts, Jeff?
I thought 13th is the Rams. I thought 13th is the Rams, unless that was a part of a trade. Aren't the Rams up next?
I'm sorry.
The Rams
yes.
are up next.
Yes, I'm sorry.
The Rams. Supposed to have been black, right?
Yes. No, that's the 13th pick. Pick is the Rams, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Well, the 13th pick is apt to be Jeff.
Oh, I thought that was 14, but whatever.
No, you're right, Jeff. I have the 13th pick. Hello.
Okay, all-timers.
Well, the Rams picked up they still need a wide receiver.
Marquise?
A guard, a cornerback. I'm not sure exactly where they go now.
You know what, Jerry? You're right. They do need a corner because they let Courtland Finnegan go.
Right.
And, oh, boy, on the other side gets beat like a drum. Might this be where they go get the guy from either Fuller or Denard from Michigan State? Or do they add to the offensive side with Tavon Austin and do that? Or do they roll the dice and already start to replace Sam Bradford with Johnny Football? And
wow.
I'm going to say this before we even get to it, because I don't know if we'll get to it in the next 26 minutes. I think Bridgewater heads, since he didn't go to Minnesota, which surprised me, Bridgewater goes to Arizona. And Bruce Arians is going to turn him into an all-pro quarterback.
Really?
Yeah, that's got a lot to do with it, these guys getting the right coaching and the right support. You know, that's very, very accurate. Because if they're not in the right system and surrounded by the right people, a lot of these guys can't be successful.
That's right. But what do you got on your own team, JTATM Money?
Excuse me?
Who do you got on St. Louis? Who do you think they're going to get?
Ooh. They got an offensive lineman. I think they go – I don't think they go wide receiver. I think they go DB. I really think they go DB.
Just like you say, I think they go DB. Who? Wow. That I'm not sure of. I'm at a loss here right now for the
Rams. I got another shocker for you guys, too. One more shocker, okay? Just one more. If, and this is a big if, Jerry Jones doesn't think with his wallet and thinks for a football team and Johnny Manziel gets passed by, Johnny Manziel ends up in Kansas City, no ifs, ands, or buts. Even though they need a wide receiver, I think he ends up in Kansas City. Because of
oh, my God. I'm going to hang myself.
Because of the issues that they're having with Smith's contract, and they need somebody in there to back up Smith. And you got to remember the types of quarterbacks that Andy Reid has dealt with in the past. Mobile, athletic quarterbacks that have slight mechanical problems, and he's won with them. So that's just my thought. If he gets passed
by. Oh, God. Somebody please shoot me.
Yeah,
I said that Houston would be making a big mistake if they did pass him up, but Kansas City, that is absolutely ludicrous. Absolutely.
Really? Why?
Yeah,
Why?
Because none of that makes any sense at all. They vested in Alex Smith. Gets down there at two or whatever, if he's down in the second round, Kansas City may take a flyer on him. But I mean, nah, Vic, you making up stuff.
How am I making up stuff? They're having trouble.
You pulling that out, I don't even know where you get this stuff from, man. I really don't.
Really?
So
what you're telling me is that Alex Smith is they've got so much invested in Alex Smith.
They are invested in Alex Smith.
No, they're not. They can't even sign him to a contract. This is his last year in the contract.
You know what? I'm not having a conversation with you.
Can't we all just get along?
Yeah, really? Who is this making?
Yeah, I told you. I'm just going to go shoot myself if I got to listen to this crap.
Just hang up.
No problem.
Ooh, they got the guy from Pittsburgh.
Huh?
They got that's
boy.
Aaron Donald. Defensive tackle. Wow, another defensive lineman? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
And he's
wow.
a monster. You pair him with Quinn and Long? Oh, my God.
And they got the tackling machine Laurinaitis behind them. I'll tell you can't go wrong with talent. You know, you just can't go wrong. You can't have too many talented players. He was rated very high. I mean, top 10 to a lot of people.
I think Dallas was going after him as well. They were going after him. Dallas definitely needs to go deeper. And I see he's lost his cousin, or he's hung up one or the other. But, you know, that's a very good pick for them. However, I don't think they need that. I thought they should have went cornerback. I really thought they should have went cornerback.
Wow. I'm just thinking of the defense of and how ferocious defense was for the St. Louis Rams, and they added another defensive lineman to it. Oh my God. That division is like whoever plays one of those teams in that division is like, it's going to cringe on a Saturday, Sunday, or a Thursday, whenever day they play them, or a Monday, because and the team that plays them next, the team that played the Rams, or the Seattle Seahawks, or the Arizona Cardinals, or the San Francisco 49ers, it's going to say thank you to those four teams because they're going to beat them up so bad.
Yep.
That the following week those teams play, they're like almost, I wouldn't say a lock, but they're almost a surefire bet to bet in the fantasy sports book casino.com.
Aw, thanks for the plug there. Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com. Go to where winners, winning players play. Place your bets today. Basketball playoffs, so is NHL hockey. All the rage nowadays. But to your point, Jerry, I think you're absolutely right. Because if you think about it, Russell Wilson will be on his back unless he's handing that ball off to Marshawn Lynch a lot. Carson Palmer, he's already a statue, okay? Then you got Colin Kaepernick. Frank Gore isn't what he used to be. They're banking on old boy from South Carolina, Lattimore, to come back and be healthy and a beast and a factor in order to keep Colin Kaepernick up. Jeff Fisher, he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. They got a ton of picks. They're going to he went one offensive player first, and then he went defense. I would not be surprised as you come down towards the end of the first round and move your way into the second round if you don't see him go DBs. And all these – I mean, there's still some good receivers out there. And with only, what, one quarterback taken thus far? One quarterback? There's a ton of talent out there.
And we're not yet at the halfway point. We're getting there, but we're not even at the halfway point in the first round. On the last five picks, the number nine pick went to Vikings' Aaron Barr. Eric Ebron, which is a surprise to me, went to the Lions at number 10. Taylor Lewan at the Titans at number 11, which is not a surprise. Odell Beckham Jr. is somewhat a surprise to me for the Giants, and the last pick was Aaron Donald. To the Rams, and the next pick up is the Chicago Bears. Talk to me, Victor. Chicago Bears.
I think the Bears, that was my pick.
Is it your pick, Jeff? Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was my pick. Well, Bears need a little help on the defense, especially the secondary. Maybe Clinton Dix from Alabama. I mean, it's early for a safety, but if the guy can make plays, that's a big part of your defense. Maybe Calvin Pryor from Louisville.
Okay, Victor,
well,
your thoughts?
Yeah, they need a safety, and they need a cornerback. I think it's one of the two that they pick here, and the pick's in. But Ha-Ha Nix or someone like that. They also need a middle linebacker. But the Bears pick in 2014, first round. Kyle Fuller, cornerback.
Ah.
In the chest. I think he's 5'10", something like that. They like short corners. I mean, they like, not short corners, they're 5'11 and 3/4". They like those spunky cornerbacks. And he's pretty good. He's pretty good. He can be deep. That's the thing. He can be deep, so they need safety to come up over the top and help him out. But I think that's a pretty good pick for him.
Wow.
Well, I figured it was going to be a cornerback or a safety. It had to be. I mean, Major Davis is pretty good, but he's not their answer at safety. And then that other kid they had playing last year, he got beat a lot. Matter of fact, he was the one that got beat on that coverage where Randall Cobb scored that touchdown in the playoffs that advanced Green Bay. So I would have probably been safe to you. But Fuller's not a bad pick because he's got support in the run, and he's a good corner guy. Second corner taken. I don't think he should have been the second corner taken, honestly. But it is what it is. Pittsburgh's going to – now, here's the deal. Pittsburgh's coming up. If Pittsburgh doesn't pick a cornerback, there's no problem. Ike Davis is 34, 35 years old. Ryan Clark is gone. There is nobody back there with Troy Polamalu, right? They need another corner or a safety in Pittsburgh, but that's what I got. And their pick is in. That tells me that they were getting a cornerback. That's just
wow.
What
their pick is already in. Wow. These picks
Denard,
are coming quick.
Like Denard from Michigan State.
I believe so. I believe so, Jeff. I mean, it makes sense. Because they had both of them on their radar. And I said that they wanted to get a cornerback.
I mean, at safety is important, but corner is more important. You can get by with average safeties. You really got to have studs on the corner.
Yeah.
Especially in this type of era where there's a lot of passing and a lot of teams that push the ball down the field. The pick is in, man. These picks are coming pretty quick, almost halfway through the draft.
Players are just falling in line. The most interesting pick, and I'm glad we're going to have it on air. Hold on. Pittsburgh selects Ryan Shazier. They got a linebacker.
What do you know?
A linebacker. Okay, well, they do have older linebackers, so... that's a good pick, but I'm surprised they didn't go DB.
Well, last year they picked old boy out of Alabama. Was it Alabama? They picked some linebacker at the same position. Shazier's a good corner. I mean, a good linebacker. He's not John Laurinaitis. No, he is not. He's fast, but I don't think he's – nah. He was for me. I don't think that was a need. They let some people go, but I don't think they should have went there. I think they should have went and got a cornerback. Now, here's the special treat here. We get to see what Dallas does, and I believe it's my turn to talk about Dallas. And I'm very happy to talk about Dallas, the terrible Lone Star.
Well.
I like Ryan.
Well, you know Dallas is on the clock here, but go ahead, Vic. I'm sorry.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Dallas is on the clock. They got Johnny Manziel sitting in their lap. Here's where we're going to see if Jerry's in it for the money or is he in it to win. His defense is terrible. Don Lee is the only...
That defense was historically terrible last year.
Correct. So... Sean Lee is their best player on defense. They let old boy go to Denver. They have no pass rush. Patrick's in D.C. Donaldson was my pick for them, but with Manziel sitting right there, do they go get C.J. Mosley out of Alabama?
I would probably go with a linebacker. I would probably go with C.J. Mosley. I know they need safety help also, but I'm more of a C.J. Mosley fan than believe it or not, Ha Ha Dixon. So
I don't see why the Cowboy fans are cheering for your boy, Johnny Manziel. I can't see why they're cheering. That just tells me they want to invest more on the offensive side of the ball and in a guy that's going to sit behind Tony Romo for a couple years. That's what it feels like. Stupid Cowboy fans.
just like the team. Stupid. That's my analysis.
Wow. You know, Mike, you know, I watched the mock draft that Mayock had yesterday, and he got, I wouldn't say lambasted, but he got pretty much, I wouldn't say laughed at, but he was pretty ridiculed because a lot of people couldn't see Johnny Manziel being left at 16 for the Dallas Cowboys, and him saying the Dallas Cowboys would take him. Well, people, he's at 16, and I can best believe they're thinking about Johnny Manziel. They're making a phone call right now.
Who would have thought halfway through the draft that the only QB taken would be Blake Bortles?
Yeah,
I'm telling you, there's going to be some teams that are going to get some good deals on quarterbacks besides Manziel, Derek Carr, and Bridgewater. They're not bums. They're not perfect, but they're not bums. And maybe a couple of those guys might fall to the second round. They can make some team very happy.
Well, it's going to make me very happy. Like I said, a lot of these teams now don't need quarterbacks from 17 down to 32. Some of them don't need quarterbacks. So that's going to leave these quarterbacks into the second round. And like I have been saying before, you pick Jadeveon Clowney at the first pick in the first round, and you come around and get your quarterback that we want in the second round, because I do believe there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks, and I'm right. There's a lot of quarterbacks that I think are going to be left, and a decent quarterback that you can pick up.
Gary Jones is talking to somebody. Gary's talking to somebody. And you know, out of NFL Network, don't have their cameras focusing on the green room to see who's talking right now. Because that's like setting up a big team. The pick is in. We want to see who they pick. And just like Deion said, if they pick Johnny Manziel, that's a ton of pressure on Tony Romo.
You think, huh? You think? Well, let me put it this way, Victor. I think Tony Romo needs a ton of pressure. I think he's in too much of a comfort level because he really has nobody behind him that so-called push him. Sometimes you got to light a fire under somebody, especially a quarterback, to get the best out of him. So why should he be any exception?
With that bad back, his best football might be behind him at this point. I hate to say it.
And he's 34.
Oh.
He's 34 years old.
With a bad back.
Yeah.
God, for all the money they just threw at him, a lot of it's guaranteed. I know Jerry makes a lot of money. Not our Jerry, but Jerry Jones. But the Cowboys pick. Who do they pick? Here we go. Told you. Zach Martin, not Johnny Manziel.
Oh.
Kansas City is, they got a tackle. They got
I thought Zach Martin was considered a guard. I think he played both in college.
He did.
I think you're right, Jeff. Doesn't he have shorter arms like a guard would? That was one of the knocks on him, even though they said he was a five-position player. I thought he was more suited for a guard position because of his length of his arms.
The thing is, and this is something I've noticed about the NFL, that when it comes to offensive line, they do move guys around a little because they want their five best out there. And sometimes in training camp, they're trying to figure out their five best. And if in the NFL, you're lucky if you got five legitimate offensive linemen, because I have never heard an NFL team say, well, we got two good centers, so one of them's got to sit. No. They'll find a spot for the other guy, you know, if he's one of their five best. So, and versatility is valued on the offensive line because they go into a game with maybe two or three backups. So they usually want each guy to be able to play at least one other position on the line in case of emergencies. You know,
the guy is going to fall to the Chiefs, and if he doesn't make it any good chance of Chiefs,
If Cleveland don't pick him,
you know, the Chiefs, you know, Reed is very good at developing quarterbacks. That could be a great thing for Manziel.
I think so. I mean, for all the crap my cousin was saying, like, I don't know what I'm talking about, they're investing in Smith. Obviously, he doesn't know that they're in contract negotiations and they're having trouble with Alex Smith right now. And this is Alex Smith's last year of his contract. So what will be a better opportunity to bring in Johnny Manziel, right, coach him up, get him ready for next year, and you put Butch in seats. And, and with all the other receivers still out there, you can still get a receiver in the second round. I mean, you guys tell me, am I mistaken in my train of thought, or does that make sense in the football part of it? And all these people that said Johnny Manziel should be a top 10 pick, Johnny Manziel this, Johnny Manziel is a very good talent, very, very good talent. But with his added stuff, you know, it pushes him down a little bit. And, again, the non-endorsement by his college football coach this morning on live TV spoke volumes to me. And I'm just an average I'm not your average everyday sports guy, but I'm a sports guy. And when your own coach speaks highly of your position player more so than you, that tells me something, guys. And you got 3 minutes left alive there, Jerry.
You are exactly right. Were you on the line also? I didn't know we could be online at the same time, Victor.
Yeah.
I thought we could knock each other off. Excuse me?
No. In the studio, we can have as many people as we want on in the studio. It's just the chat room. Like, you knocked me out of the chat room when you took over the chat room.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, now we're going into the 17th pick, if I'm not mistaken, right? Which is the Baltimore Ravens. And Baltimore Ravens need a tackle, for one. They also need a free safety, cornerback, inside linebacker help, inside and outside linebacker help, and possibly a defensive end. Wow. I am at a loss of who they're going to take now. You guys have any thoughts?
Baltimore.
With about a little bit less than 2 minutes left in live show.
Go ahead. Well, there's just two good safeties still on the board, and on deck is the Jets.
On deck for the Jets?
Yeah.
No.
After Baltimore, it's the Jets.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Hey, I need a favor, so I don't get kicked off the show. I'm going to be on another show at 10 minutes after. So I'm going to need you to mute me at 10:10 your time.
Well, I'm going to be leaving at near 10 o'clock, so.
Oh, so well, it's about to be 10 o'clock now, guys.
Yes. So what I'm going to do now is the selection in? The pick's in. So this is going to be the last pick before we go off the air. All right?
Okay.
Unless the pick for the Jets comes pretty quick right after Baltimore, this is going to be the last pick because I want to be able to watch the last set of picks from 18 on because I think fireworks aren't over yet. I think that there's going to be some things happening in the later part of this rounds, and I got to see who's going to go where, especially in the skill positions, especially if some quarterbacks are going to be taken off the board in the later portion of this round.
So we're going to be going in overtime, but at 10:10, I will mute you if we're still on the air. All right, Victor?
Not a problem. Thank you very much. And I definitely want to talk about your JTSS, yes, Jets, because the Raiders are making their pick, and they are selecting DJ Moseley, linebacker, Alabama.
Linebacker. Oh, yeah. He's a type of Alabama. He's the type of Ozzie Newsom type. Ozzie's from Alabama, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
You know what? I think he could be a good replacement for Ray because he plays the middle very well. But they compared him to Coochley, a more athletic Coochley. And I'm like, Coochley's pretty daggone athletic. That's
right.
Kind of big plays, you know what I mean?
Right.
They said he covers better. So,
wow.
That's a good pitch.
All right, we're going to stay on here for one more pick since it's a local pick, the New York Jets, not because I'm a prior Jets fan, but because it's a local pick.
What do you mean prior?
I'm a prior Jets fan. I'm not longer. I got my boy that I wanted in the first round. If they happen to do something, meaning the Houston Texans, later in the first round to move up to get a quarterback or another skilled player, I'm all for it. I don't think they will. I think they're going to have a quarterback fall right in their laps with the 33rd pick, which is tomorrow at 7 p.m. is when the NFL draft resumes in the second round after the first round is over tonight. We're just a little just past the halfway point. And we have to wait and see what's going to happen from the 18th pick to the 32nd pick. Jeff, your thoughts?
You know, as we said before, the Jets need help at wide receiver. There's still some good ones left. Marquise Lee from Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid from Oregon. What's his name?
You also got the kid from Florida State. Calvin
yeah.
Benjamin, too.
Right. Oh. Now, that might mean they could wait to the second round for, you know, because there is supposed to be very good depth at wide receiver. And they might, maybe they'll take a corner. Jason Verrett is still on the board. You know, the Jets, you never know what they're going to do.
Well, I'll tell you my thoughts on it. You know what your boy wants. Your boy wants a DB, and there's a good one out there. There's a very good one out there out of Michigan State. That's what your boy wants. Now, what is it takes? It could be a receiver to pair up with Decker, because Clowney was their number one receiver last year. Clowney's not a bad receiver, but he's not the best receiver. And the other guy that y'all drafted at wide receiver a couple of years ago, I forget his name.
Stephen Hill.
Yeah, Stephen Hill.
That guy can't catch a cold.
Exactly. So they're showing stuff right now. You know, Kyle Wilson didn't work out. You know, Muhammad Wilkerson, I think he's still playing. I'm not sure. But you guys either going to get a corner or you're going to get a receiver. If it's a receiver, it's an Izzik pick. If it's anything other than a D-back or linebacker, it's an Izzik pick. That's just my thoughts on it, JTA.
Well, I gotta believe that they're going to go wide receiver here. And Mike Mayock just brought it up, and he's got a good point. They need a speed burner on the outside, and that's Brandon Cook. Marquise Lee or Kelvin Benjamin are big wide receivers. Brandon Cook is that speed guy. And I think they need somebody to take the top off. Exactly. because Eric Decker's not that type. And they really don't have anybody else that can do that. So a lot of these players that are playing now, especially these skilled players, if they pan out, they're playing from opening day. Opening day, they're playing. But that's why nowadays when you pick somebody high in the draft, especially your first round pick, you expect that first round pick to play right away. So we have to wait and see. I'm surprised that the Jets have taken so long. This is going to be the last pick for the show.
Well, I'm going to bounce out, JT. I'm going to bounce out and make my appearance on Craig Kellogg's comments.
Okay. Well, right. I want to thank you for joining us and giving your insight into the draft. Tune in on Saturday where we'll be concluding. We'll be talking about the first two rounds of the draft. And what else, Victor?
We're going to finish up round, I think, 4 through 7.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll also talk about whatever came up in the world of sports, most notably how Sterling's wife feels that she should still own the team. And she's gotten a lawyer, for a law firm, to help keep the team in the Sterling family. We'll talk about NBA basketball as well. So that's what I got on tap. I got to go, fellas.
Take care, Victor.
Get your letter.
Thanks.
All right, Jeff and Jerry, do the damn thing, boys. See y'all later.
All right, well,
the Jets have, they have such a horrible draft day tradition, but the fact is, even the best teams make a bad pick once in a while, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then the thing is, like, a guy like Ken O'Brien, he was pretty good, but because of, you know, the other quarterbacks in that draft, everybody thought O'Brien stunk, you know, and he had a pretty good career, but he wasn't
right.
Marino. So because of that, people talk about him like he's a bum. He wasn't a bum. He was pretty good.
Well, that's true.
I remember,
that's true.
Oh,
I
do
mean,
you remember when they made that big trade for Johnny Lamb Jones? Whew, that was a bust.
yeah, that was. Well, he was a speed guy. They thought that he could transition that to the to the NFL, and quite naturally, not.
And one of my all-time least favorites, Blair Thomas. I didn't even like him in college. Because I know he had good numbers in college, but he put up his good numbers against, like, East Carolina. And even in college, he was always banged up. And for some reason, in a very good draft, the Giants went with Blair Thomas. I think they could have had Emmitt Smith if they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But even the best occasionally make mistakes in the draft. It's not an exact science. I mean, Bill Walsh thought Jim Druckenmiller was going to be the next big star in the league. I mean, you know, not an exact science.
Well, the pick is in. Wait for the commissioner to come to the podium and announce
the
pick.
There's always a lot of Giant and Jet fans with the draft in New York, but it might be moving it in the future.
Yeah, we'll see what happens if the Jets fans are happy. Or they start booing. Hopefully, the Jets will please their fans with the pick that they decided, and they're taking their sweet time to get to the podium. Maybe Isaac and Rex Ryan are boxing back and forth, and whoever won is able to get their pick out of here.
These teams, they're supposed to have their board set, so boom,
on
draft day, there's no discussion. It's like, this is the next guy, we're going with him, and there's not a lot of huffing and puffing, you know?
Right,
it's the way it should be, but sometimes there's a little issue.
Yep. Here we go. Another DB. Wow. He's a hell of a player. He's a hitter, man. He's a hitter.
Yeah. Yeah.
This guy,
and, you know,
this guy is a knockout specialist.
You know, and they can still get a receiver in the next round. And, you know, a lot of teams want that playmaking safety. And that, you know, he could be like a, well, he's not as big as Earl Thomas, but, you know, he could be a big playmaker.
Wow. Yeah, this guy's a hitter, man. I've seen this guy play, and he's a hitter. He is a hitter. He's not afraid to stick his head in there.
And still, all those quarterbacks still on the board. But, you know, I'll tell you, when Dan Marino dropped to the end of the first round in 83, it's one of the best things that ever happened to him. Sure,
oh,
I wasn't
yeah.
thinking it at the time, but it gave him a chance to be with a great team, which most quarterbacks don't get drafted by a great team. And,
right.
And also, Marino, there was those rumors about him, unsubstantiated rumors about drugs. I think it was because he had a disappointing senior season. And, you know, he just said, hey, I'm just going to get in the best shape of my life and kick butt at training camp, and he did, and the rest is history.
Yep. All right, with that being said, Jeff, we come to the end of this show with a little less than half of the draft left. Your thoughts on the last 18 picks before we get out of here?
You know, it's interesting. You know, this is it's a chess game. You know, it's kind of like a fantasy draft. And, you know, the thing is, a fantasy draft, you can't judge till the end of the season. This NFL draft, you can't judge for years later, maybe, you know?
Right.
And you wish you knew what was going on behind the scenes, because some of the stuff is puzzling, you know? But, you know, these teams, they have their scouting, they have their priorities.
All right. With that being said, I want to thank everyone who listened. For those who've been listening and watching the draft, enjoy the rest of the draft. Tune in next week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where Jeff and I, and maybe Black and whoever else happens to pop in, will be here talking to fantasy sports and politics. This is the Crew Show, and we are going to be gone.
Yeah. Yeah. Draft day, Johnny Manziel. 5 years later, how am I the man still? Draft day, A. Wiggins. That other side, we stay winning. Oh, man. You know I had to do it for you. You know I had to do it for you.